Hello, let's turn to the Word of God tonight, to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 19. And we're going to read the first 10 verses. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a certain man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down, and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. And then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. May God graciously add a blessing in the reading of his holy and precious word. Now let us all pray. O Lord, our glorious God, we will come before you this night, and we will be still and know that you are God, that you are the living God, that you are the holy God, that you are the one who will be exalted among the heathen, that you are the one who will be exalted on the earth. We would come, O God, and we would humble ourselves before you. We would not come before you flippantly or irreverently. We would not come before you, O God, with any kind of anything upon our hearts, O God, which would be wrong before you. And we would remember, O Lord, that you are God alone, that you are the one who sits upon the throne. And we thank you, O God, that your Son is on the right hand of the Majesty on high. We remember, O Lord, that you are the thrice holy God, that God the Father is holy, God the Son is holy. And we thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. And, O Lord, our God, we would come and we would worship you. We would magnify you, O Lord, for we recognize that you are worthy of our worship. We realize, O Lord, that it is imperfect worship. We realize, O Lord, that we are still in the flesh. We realize, O God, that our hearts are so often cold. And yet, O Lord, we long that we might have a greater affection for you, that we might have a greater love toward yourself. For we recognize, O Lord, that you are glorious. We recognize, O God, that your Son is altogether lovely. And we long, O God, that we might know more experimentally of your great love toward us. We thank you, O Lord, for those occasions when we know something of the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. But we long, O God, that we might know more of it. We long, O God, that we might know what it is to rejoice with that joy unspeakable and full of glory. We realize, O Lord, that you are a God who has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. We thank you, O God, that because of the work of your only begotten Son on Calvary's tree, our sins and our iniquities you will remember no more. We thank you, O God, that we can come and know that it is well with our soul. We thank you, O God, that you have granted unto us eternal life, and we shall never perish. We thank you indeed, O God, for that. We thank you that we are secure in Christ. We thank you, O God, that in every situation in life, that ultimately it shall work for our good and for your glory. We realize, O God, that nothing happens to us without permission from the throne. We bless you indeed, O God, for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. We realize, O God, that we are not only saved by grace, but we are kept by grace. We thank you, O God, for that love that will not let us go because it cannot let us go. And we thank you, O God, that you love us with the same quantity and quality of love with which you love your Son. Because, O Lord, we are members of the body of Christ, of which he is the head. We bless you indeed, O God, that although we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, we thank you, O God, that you have provided for your people the whole armour of God, so that we may be able to fight the good fight of the faith, and that we might be able to stand in that evil day. We bless you indeed, O God, that the sky, not the grave, is our goal. And we thank you, O God, that one day all your blood-bought children will be saved to sin no more. And, O Lord, our God, we would not be unmindful of our brothers and sisters in other lands. We know, O God, that there are those in the land of Morocco. We do commend them, Lord, lovingly and graciously into your hands, and pray that your hand may be upon them. We know, O God, that there are our brothers and sisters in Pakistan and in other Islamic lands, O God, where there is great darkness. We know that there are many in the land of Indonesia. And we know, O God, that many have suffered for the cause of Jesus Christ. We know, O Lord, too, that you are the one who is with your people in their darkest hour. And we pray, O God, that they might know that you give more grace, that they might know that blessed peace which passes all understanding, that they might make that good confession of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray indeed, O Lord, for your people in the land of China. And we thank you, Lord, for them. We bless you, O Lord, for the work that you are doing there. And we do pray, O God, that you might prosper the gospel in that needy land, that many might come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, O God, for our own nation. And we do pray, O God, for your people in this land. We realize, O Lord, that so often we are far from that which we ought to be. And yet we pray, O God, that in grace that you will come and that you will meet with us. We long, O God, that we might see people saved by grace alone. We long indeed, O Lord, that we might see people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. O Lord our God, we would lay hold upon you and pray that you will pour your Spirit out. Pray, O God, that you will quicken dead sinners and that you will bring them to spiritual life. We pray for your people as they labour here and for those calendars as they go out into this neighbourhood. And we ask, O Lord, that many may be spoken to through your word. We pray indeed, O Lord, for the work among the children and young people. And, O Lord, our God, we would pray that Satan may not have them. We ask that the Lord Jesus Christ will save them. We realise, O Lord, that there are many awful temptations upon young people today. And yet, O Lord, we thank you for the power of the Lord Jesus. And we pray indeed, O Lord, that many may come to a saving knowledge of the one who is the King of Kings and is the Lord of Lords. O Lord our God, hear us, we cry. Have your hand upon your dear people here. Grant that there might ever be a spirit of unity here. Grant that Satan may be kept out. For we know, O Lord, that he goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. May your people resist the devil, that he may flee from them. May your people draw nigh unto you, that you might draw nigh unto them. We pray, O God, that you will be pleased in this needy area to do a great work that shall bring glory to your name. We pray for Mark Gladwell again and his family, and pray that they might be protected from the evil one, as he seeks to prepare your word week by week, and to lead the flock. We pray that he might know that wisdom that cometh from above. And we pray indeed, O Lord, that you might mightily use him for the building up of your people, for the furtherance of your kingdom, in the salvation of many precious souls. We realize, O Lord, that you are a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And we pray, O God, that it might please you to demonstrate the reality of that text among your people here. O Lord, bless the work here and use it mightily for your glory, we ask. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of giving to the work of the gospel. We realize, O Lord, that you look not just at the amount given, but the quality of the gift. And we pray indeed, O Lord, that you might give wisdom in the right use of the money. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Now I want to draw your attention this evening to that passage of scripture that we read earlier. And I'm sure that if you are familiar with the Word of God, one of the great passages of this Word is this wonderful story of Zacchaeus and a wonderful demonstration of the grace of God in the Gospel. We have here one of the most remarkable accounts in the whole of the Word of God of the intervention of the glorious person of the Lord Jesus in the life of the most unlikely candidate for Christian conversion, apart from perhaps the Apostle Paul. Now, when we read the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we immediately see that no one can really predict what is going to happen next. You cannot anticipate what is going to happen if you read the Gospels for the very first time and you read this amazing account of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that he comes to Jericho, and we see that a blind beggar comes to the Lord Jesus, and a blind beggar asks him for mercy. And yet, who is the very next person that the Lord Jesus is going to meet with? A man completely the opposite to the blind beggar. He had already healed a man who was naturally blind. He is now going to heal a man who is spiritually blind. Blind Bartimaeus was very poor. He was a beggar. Zacchaeus was incredibly rich. And they were two complete opposites. And yet they both came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They both came to personal salvation in him. And I want to submit to you this evening that Zacchaeus is one of the most remarkable pictures that we have in the whole of the Word of God of the amazing grace of God in the Gospel. Now, the first thing that we need to say tonight is that we need to look at the scene before us. Here is Jericho. In the time of our Lord, it was a beautiful, rich, and fertile city. There were palm trees everywhere. Everywhere you went, you saw natural beauty. It was a lovely place to be. If you were interested in nature in the Middle East, you will go down to Jericho. There were the royal gardens. They were beautiful, and there was something to behold. It was a kind of place that anybody who really appreciated nature would love to go. If it were in the present day, those beautiful gardens would no doubt be placed in the hands of the National Trust. And yet one day Jericho had a most unusual visitor. They had the visitor of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And no doubt word got round that Jesus Christ was coming to this lovely city. Curiosity had no doubt seized the crowds. His teaching was something to hear. When he spoke with authority and not as the scribes. He did not come with some kind of idle speculation. He came and he declared that which he knew to be the truths of God. And questions must have flashed through the minds of the onlookers. Do you know what happened down the road at Bethany? A man was raised from the dead. This Jesus of Nazareth, he went to the tomb and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came forth. And look at the kind of disciples that he has. Ignorant fishermen. The most unusual, the most unlikely people. What credentials did these men have? Did they go to the school of the rabbis? No. They had only one credential. They had been called by the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus had powerfully said to them, "Follow me." And they had followed him. They had left their livelihood in order that they might follow this interesting man from Galilee. And we know in those days that it was a custom that when a celebration was passing through a place, that the people would naturally gather in the streets to give a welcome. It was something that was part of the culture of the day. And no doubt the buzz went around Jericho. This remarkable Jesus is coming to our city. And children would no doubt have been there. We know that children are always curious. They are always interested in things that might be happening. There were those, no doubt, who were half convinced. There were those, perhaps, who were young mothers with babies in arms. And they were there to see this one who was the prophet of Nazareth. But there was also one other man as well. And his name was Zacchaeus in verse 2. And he was the chief tax collector, and he was rich. His CV was a most interesting CV. Not only was he a tax collector, that would have been bad enough. He was also the chief tax collector. He was the manager of the show. And these tax collectors were renowned for their dishonesty, and they were hated by the religious people of the day. No one could have been worse in the eyes of the people as to be a chief tax collector, as to be the manager of the local tax office. But he was a curious man. He was short. He wasn't very large. And there he was. He came and he sought to see who Jesus was. But he could not because of the crowd. He was a rich man. And perhaps he had been rich because of dishonest gain. He was certainly not like the beggar who came to Jesus. He had all that he needed. He was comfortably off. And perhaps it showed. He has rich clothes on him. But when he arrived at the scene, he could not get to the front because of the crowd. Now I want to suggest to you this evening that the reason why he couldn't get there was because the crowd would not let him. You can imagine these people. They saw Zacchaeus behind them. And perhaps they said one to the other, "Don't look now, but there is that Zacchaeus just behind. Don't look, let him in. The money I've had to give that man over the years, there's one person who we mustn't let through, and that man is Zacchaeus. Keep old money bags out of it. Don't let him come through and see Jesus. Come on, let's bunch together. We can't let him come and see Jesus." But Zacchaeus was a determined little man. You had to be to do his job. So he climbed a sycamore tree. And sycamore trees had very large branches. And he climbed up that tree. And perhaps sycamore trees were a little like oak trees in our own country. Everything was against him. His job carried extortion. He would have known what was going on under him. He was the chief tax collector. And yet he had a remarkable interest in the Saviour. What gave him that interest? Perhaps conscience gave him that interest. Something better than the life that he was living. Perhaps he had heard that the Lord Jesus had on offer. Perhaps he had heard of the remarkable grace of Jesus Christ. Perhaps he had heard that he had been opposed by the religious rulers of the day. And he'd had enough of formal religion. And so Zacchaeus made every effort to see this man Jesus. But in the end he saw the Saviour of the world. Curiosity had killed the cat. But it was a curiosity that was one of those things that was used to save the most unlikely candidate for Christian conversion. Here was the Lord Jesus surrounded by the crowds. And yet he wasn't interested in the crowds. At that very moment, no one else mattered but one man. And that man was Zacchaeus. For in the fifth verse we are told, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.'" He called him by name. How did he know his name? Because here we have God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. "Zacchaeus, come down." I reckon Zacchaeus could almost have fallen off that tree. That's the last thing he would have expected. He must have been shocked. The crowd must have been amazed. He was no longer one of the crowd. The searchlight was on him. Jesus was dealing with him individually. Jesus was giving him an immediate command. "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." Have you had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ? Have you come to this place and through the preaching of the word, have you met with the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only Saviour of sinners? Have you known what it is to be saved? Have you known what it is to be called by the glorious Son of the living God? Have you met with Jesus Christ? You make the effort to come. Zacchaeus made the effort to see Jesus. He climbed up that sycamore tree. And perhaps Sunday after Sunday you've made the effort to come and to hear the preaching of the word. And you like to meet with the people here. And you listen and you hear. But you have never ultimately had a personal encounter with the glorious person of Jesus Christ. And I pray that this night, that he may come from heaven's glory, and that he might meet with you personally and individually and call you by name and say, "Come down." May he speak to you through the medium of an imperfect preacher, as if you were the only person in this congregation tonight. You see, Zacchaeus wanted to see a wonder, Jesus. But he ended up being made a wonder of amazing grace. And when Jesus looks upon men, and he looks upon women, they are saving looks. Now what did Jesus say? He said, "Come down." This was a command. It wasn't an invitation. "Come down, Zacchaeus. Come down from your wickedness. Come down from your sin. Come down from your past life. Come down from your evil. Come down from your position. Come down from your self-righteousness. Come down from your tree of pride. Come down from being a mere onlooker to becoming one of my true followers." And my dear friend tonight, has that happened to you? Have you come down from wickedness? Have you come down from sin? Have you come down from evil? Have you come down from your self-righteousness? Have you come down from the tree of pride? Have you come down from being a mere onlooker to being a true follower of the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world? Take away those binoculars, my friend, that see Jesus from a distance, and see him closer, and seek to have a personal encounter with the one who is the Saviour of the world. Now, when did Jesus tell him to come down? If you'd like to come down, at your convenience. "I'll be back in a short while. And if you'd just like to come down from that sycamore tree, Zacchaeus, I'll be ready for you." No, the Lord Jesus said, make haste and come down. My dear friend, you cannot be a moment longer unconverted. You must make haste now. You must come down now. You must seek the Lord now. You must call upon him now. It must be done immediately. It must be done at this very moment. You're to come in a hurry. You're to come now. The Lord Jesus was never again going to pass through Jericho. And tonight may be the very last opportunity that you are going to have while there is breath in your body to hear the glorious gospel of the grace of God. Are you going to be like Zacchaeus? Are you going to come down? Not so much standing before the crowd or standing before this congregation as standing before the Lord of glory. In a moment, Zacchaeus saw it all, no doubt. He saw what his past had been. He saw what his present was. And he saw what his future must be. Have you, my friend, seen a past like mine that is poisoned by sin, but forgiven because of the saving work of the Lord Jesus there on Calvary's tree, never to be remembered again? For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And Zacchaeus came down and he met with the Savior. It was now or never. It is now or never for you, perhaps, tonight. There may never be another opportunity for you to come and seek the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to say this next. We need to look at the crowd too. For in the seventh verse, but when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Now, had the Lord Jesus been seeking popularity, he would never have called Zacchaeus down. Jesus was prepared to lose a crowd in order to gain one true disciple. No one was happy with Jesus' invitation. He couldn't have said a worse thing. If he wanted to be a popular preacher, the last person he should have dealt with was Zacchaeus. But Jesus was not a popular preacher. He was a faithful preacher. And he would sooner have one true convert than hundreds of superficial hearers. And my dear friend, tonight I'm not out for superficial hearers. I'm not out for decisions for Christ. I'm out for true converts who have been wrought upon by the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven and drawn savingly to the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But also we see from this statement of the crowds, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Even though it was said derogatory, this statement is wonderfully true. It is true. He is still the guest of sinners and only sinners. For he did not come to call the righteous, he did not come to call the self-righteous, but sinners to repentance. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's a command. Is your heart a guest room for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Has the King of Glory come to be a guest with you? It's not really convenient. Some other time. Now, why will people not have this Jesus, the most glorious person that has ever set foot in this world as a guest. I'll tell you why, my friend. Because you have Satan as a resident. The whole world lies in the wicked one. You're under his domination. And you are dead in sin. And your will has been warped by sin. And outside every unsaved heart, without the grace of God, is the statement, no vacancies for Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You may have an interest in him, because men are made in the image of God. You may have an interest in him. You may desire to hear preaching about him. But he has never been a guest in your heart, and he has never been a guest in your life. And it's not enough to have an interest. It's not enough to be curious. It's not enough to listen. It's not enough to have an intellectual understanding of what the Bible says. You must meet with Jesus Christ and see him as your Savior. And you must meet with Jesus Christ and acknowledge him as your Lord. And you must do it now. And I pray that grace will come and meet with you tonight. And then we have to say this. This statement of the crowds, he has gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner, showed their own self-righteousness. What was the crowd really saying? He should come to us. Fancy that. He's going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus, in their eyes, was the lowest of the low. And there are many people, my friend, and they are full of self-righteousness, and they think that they are good enough for God. You see them in the street, and sadly you meet them in evangelical churches. They are good living people, and you see them, and you meet them, and they are likable sinners. And you may be one of them tonight. You may not have done great wickedness. But my dear friend, you can have cyanide in a teaspoon, and you can have cyanide in a bucket, but it will still be the killer of cyanide. And you, my friend, are born in sin. As I was born in sin. And it's an awful thing to have to say this, but the Bible says that we were all conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. We were not shapen in goodness. And you will have to see, if you come to Jesus Christ, that all your righteousness is as filthy rags. And then we have to say this too, that the majority are wrong when it comes to Christian truth. They murmured and they complained. He has gone to be the guest with a man who is a sinner. Here was the majority. Here were the people. They had no time now for Jesus of Nazareth because he was inviting this awful man Zacchaeus and saying that he must stay at his house. It was the crowds that shouted, "Crucify him." And you may be frightened of no longer being among the majority, but you may be frightened of the fact that you, by coming a Christian tonight, will be among the minority. And I have to tell you this, that there is a cost in being a Christian. And it's a very high cost indeed for some people. But it's a cost worth paying. Are you a Zacchaeus tonight? Are there Zacchaeuses in this congregation? I'm not talking about rich tax collectors, but those who want to hear, those who want to see, those who make every effort to come. Let's face it tonight, you could be at home watching the telly like most of the people in this country. You can be hidden in the crowd. But I would plead with you this night, come out of the crowd and in your heart come to the Saviour. And I pray that the Saviour will come and that he will meet with you and that he might change your life, that he might transform you. Can I hear the Lord of glory saying tonight, come down, my friend, come down immediately, for I must abide at your house. If he must needs be, go through Samaria to save an immoral woman, if he must abide at Zacchaeus' house, if he must invite sinners to come, if he must go to Calvary to do the works of him that sent him, then, my friend, you must be born again. And you must be born again tonight. And pray that God will save you, and that Christ might meet with you, and that he might come, and that he might visit your soul, and that you might call upon the name of the Lord, that you might be saved. Even tonight. Do pray that he will build his church and that the all-conquering Christ, by the power of his Spirit, will overcome all opposition in your heart and that he might meet with you and take up permanent residence there. Now, one other thing. For we read a most remarkable statement in verse 8. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. This is unbelievable. A tax collector giving half of his goods to the poor. Never been known in the history of the tax office. And if he had taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I'm not only going to give it back, but I'm going to multiply it by four. Unbelievable. But you know, those who have an encounter with Jesus Christ do things that would have been unbelievable before. Do you remember there was an account in Acts 16 of the Philippian jailer? And you know, the Lord of glory used an earthquake to save this man. Some people need an earthquake, and some people need the gentle opening of the heart, as with Lydia. And you know, the wonderful thing is that we read that they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And in verse 33 of Acts 16 we read, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. And when he brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. My dear Philippian jailer, have you ever done that with prisoners before? Had you ever washed the stripes of the prisoners? Had you ever brought them into your house? Had you ever set food before them? You see, those who have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, like Zacchaeus, do things that would have been totally unbelievable before. About 3 or 4 years ago, I had a knock on our door. and it was a middle-aged woman who I'd known as a Jehovah's Witness. And she said to me, she said, "Ray," she said, "I want to tell you this, that I am no longer a Jehovah's Witness. I have resigned from the Watchtower organization because I've had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And what I'm doing now," she said, "I'm going round and I'm knocking on the doors of everyone that I called upon as a Jehovah's Witness, and I'm telling them all that I was wrong." When my father was converted to Jesus Christ at the age of 79, and he was to be baptized at the age of 80, he rang me up on the Sunday before he was to be baptized. And he said, "You know, Ray," he said, "last Friday afternoon I went to my over 60s club and I sought to tell them something of what had happened to me. And," he said, "you know, they laughed at me. And I said to my old dad, I said, 'You know, Dad, I'm sorry to hear it.' He said, 'No, Ray,' he said, 'don't feel sorry for me. Because I remember the sort of things I used to say to you when you came to know Jesus Christ. And I couldn't be baptized next Sunday night if I didn't give you an unqualified apology for my behavior.'" The wonder of the change that takes place when people have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Have you had that remarkable change? Have you had that wonderful personal encounter? In your heart of hearts, answer that question. Because if you have had that personal encounter with Jesus Christ, the test of it is this: has there been a remarkable change in your life? There was a remarkable change in Zacchaeus' life. There was a remarkable change in that Philippian jailer's life. There was a remarkable change in that lady who had been a Jehovah's Witness in her life. There had been a remarkable change in my own father's life. I can remember a few years later preaching at his own funeral, pleading with people to seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. My own father spent years in vanity and pride, and one day it pleased God to come to him in the person of his son, and he had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. I pray that you will tonight, and that you'll be able to say, "I once was blind, but now I see." And only Jesus Christ can open blind eyes. See him there, my friend. See a dying Saviour's love. See him who knew no sin being made sin for us. That was as obnoxious to a holy God Christ became at Calvary. He was made sin. That's love, amazing love. Pray that you won't turn your back on Calvary love, and that you might seek him while he may be found. If you don't, the Bible says that there is a place where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. Pray that no one here will go to that awful place, but that everyone may go to heaven, saved by the blood of Jesus, saved from the curse of sin. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Pray that he will have found you tonight and made you, because of his amazing grace, one of his children. Let us pray. Our glorious God, we thank you for grace. We thank you for amazing grace, unsought after, free favour of God towards sinners. And O Lord our God, we thank you tonight for the gospel. And we pray, O God, for everyone gathered here who's never had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. O God, grant that they would have done so even this night. That they may make haste, that they may come down from the sycamore tree, and that they might meet with the King of Glory, that they might know the wonderful thing, that it is well with their soul. We thank you that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. O God, may they be found this night by the dear Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask this. Amen. My dear friend, for your soul's sake, hearken to his invitation, to the music of God's grace. Let the peace of God's salvation fill your soul and love embrace. And now to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen.
Amen.